Poor Martha. She always gets the short end of the stick when this passage is read or preached or talked about, doesn't she? Be like Mary, don't be like Martha. That's how the moral of the story usually goes. We are often accused of being too much like Martha and not stopping to take time out of our busy days to focus on spiritual things, to listen to the Word of God, of prioritizing the things of this world and the relatively petty concerns of this life over the eternal things of Christ. And yes, these days it is not hard for us to imagine being distracted and anxious and troubled by many things, the way that Martha is described. In fact, distracted and anxious and troubled by many things could be a pretty good summary of the entire mindset and mood of the American public these days. So in that sense, in this broad, general way, the rebuke Jesus gives to Martha is one that is very much needed. In fact, is it even really a rebuke? He speaks so gently to her that there's no real sting to his words. To my ears, it sounds like he's compassionately teaching and guiding Martha, not criticizing her. Now, it is true that we need to be refocused on the Word of God, and not on the mundane, unimportant details of this life that we so often get preoccupied with. We are often good at majoring in the minors, as the saying goes. But let's not get too carried away with that. In another very real sense, to spend the entire time on that vein would be preaching to the choir. After all, you're here. You're the ones who are taking time out of your busy schedule to gather here at the Lord's feet, to hear His words, to receive His gifts, to celebrate with His other followers. As you come here week after week to receive Christ's blessings and worship, you are already more closely following the example of Mary than of Martha. And so I want to approach the passage another way today. If you are already following the example of Mary by gathering here today, then what is it that she hears? Well, she sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. Now, sitting at His feet may be a literal description of where she was, but it is also the way that Scripture often speaks about being a student or a disciple. She's not just one person among many in the large crowds who hear Jesus preaching. She is one of His followers, someone committed to learning and following, a disciple. Martha is burdened, while Mary relaxes. Now, of course, that's what upsets Martha, but what Mary is experiencing is not just idly putting her feet up while her sister does all the hard work. What Mary is enjoying is the rest that Christ brings. This reflects our understanding of what Christian worship really is. When we gather here like this, we are here to worship and praise God, but that's really the secondary thing. That's the response. The real, the most important, the central aspect of this worship together is God serving us. Now, if you've noticed in our hymnal, our communion services are called Divine Service, whichever number for the different musical settings, Divine Service 1 or Divine Service 2 or 3 or so forth. And when we come here, it is God who is serving us, who is giving to us in His Word that is read and in the Lord's Supper that He feeds us with. We receive His gifts, His grace, and then we respond with thanks and praise and worship. We gather for divine service because God is divinely serving us. Now, what Martha wanted to do was not bad. She wanted to serve her Lord. But what Mary was doing is indeed more important, more needful, being served by her Lord. A preacher many years ago named John Cassian said this: to cling always to God and to the things of God. This must be our major effort. This must be the road that the heart follows unswervingly. Any diversion, however impressive, must be regarded as secondary. In looking after the Lord and His disciples, Martha did a very holy service. Mary, however, was intent on the spiritual teaching of Jesus, and she stayed by His feet. Now, Martha is more concerned about providing physical bread and nourishment to Jesus and the others. Mary is receiving spiritual bread and nourishment. Remember the way that Jesus says in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Service to others and providing for their needs is a good Christian service. Martha doesn't deserve to be criticized for that. And still the fact remains that Mary's choice is the better one, the more important one, listening to God speak to her, hearing the word and receiving his grace. Our acts of love and service for each other are important here and now, but it is the word of the Lord that will last forever. And so this morning, I can give you some good news. You are not like Martha, at least not all the time. Right now, you're more like Mary. You have chosen the good portion, and just like her, just like that it will not be taken away from you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God and Christ. Nothing can snatch you away from what he has done for you. His forgiveness, his life, his salvation are yours and always will be yours. Now, the good portion that Jesus talks about here refers to his teaching, to the gospel. Now, Martha wants to do a good thing, showing hospitality to Jesus and honoring him, but Mary is hearing the gospel. Her hospitality to the Lord is expressed first and foremost in her faithful acceptance of his word, the way that we passively receive the gifts of God's kingdom before we can actively go out and share those gifts with others. After we have received them, after we have shown hospitality to our Lord by receiving him and what he wants to give to us, after that, the time comes for expressing hospitality to others in response. So when our ladies group here at this church, or at many other churches, is called the Mary Martha Society, that's what it's talking about. It has a dual purpose, just as the name suggests. They are Marthas, serving others, showing hospitality, doing service projects, collecting offerings for missions and the church, and so forth. And they are also Marys, as they gather each month for devotion and fellowship, for spiritual growth and encouragement. Both Mary and Martha give us a good Christian role model in their own way. And yet it is no good to put the cart before the horse. We could say that Martha's mistake was reversing the roles. She was acting like the host. That was her house, after all. Jesus was the guest. But wherever Jesus is, he always acts as the host, and we are always the guests. I've noticed this as I was thinking about this passage. Throughout the course of the New Testament, throughout the Gospels, Jesus tends to be a bit presumptuous and act like the host in other people's houses. When he washes the feet of the disciples at the Last Supper, Peter makes a similar objection. I should be washing your feet, Lord. But Jesus is the host, and he serves us. When those two on the road to Emmaus meet him after the resurrection, he walks with them, and he enters their house, and yet he is the one who takes the bread, who blesses it, serves it to them. Time after time, even when he is the stranger, Jesus is always the host. He is always giving and serving, not demanding to be served. Now Martha, very understandably, is acting like the host, but Jesus makes it clear that that is always his place. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. Everything belongs to him. No matter where we are on the planet, we are always in his kingdom. We are always on his property. We are always, in a sense, his guests. And he takes care of his guests, just like a good host should. He feeds us. He invites us here to give us spiritual food and drink, and he makes sure that no one goes away hungry. He gives us the good portion, the one thing necessary. You know, I can't help but notice that Mary never speaks in this passage. Martha and Jesus talk about her, but we never hear her words. But if it is Mary's position we find ourselves in this morning, how should we act towards the Marthas of the world, to those who are too burdened and too distracted and too anxious, those who are running themselves ragged trying to do, even if they're trying to do good things? Well, we can share the message of this rest that we have in Christ, the same loving invitation he gives to Martha to sit down and be served by the Lord of the universe. We can remind others that when God entered his creation, it was to serve his creatures and not be served by them. We can share the joy of knowing the one thing that is necessary, the gospel teaching of Christ and the word of God that remains forever, the faith that is created in us by the Holy Spirit through this message and the means of grace, and the peace that passes all understanding. that this brings to us. I couldn't find the exact quote, and there's always a chance it may not be genuine, but supposedly Luther once said something along the lines of this: "I cannot get anything done unless I spend at least 1 hour in prayer each morning. If I have a particularly busy day, I must spend 2 hours." How counterintuitive that sounds. If my day is especially busy, if my other obligations are threatening to overwhelm me, then I should spend more time in prayer? I will confess, that is not my normal reaction either. But the more heavily the cares of this world press in on you, the more important it is to hear God's word and turn to Him. The temptation is always to focus on what you have to do, to go it alone when you think you simply have too much. Now, this last week's gospel also reminded us about the greatest commandment: love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors as yourselves. And those commandments, and the Ten Commandments, are put in that order for a reason. First, we come to be served by Him, to be taught and fed and enabled to love God. Then, so that we are prepared to go out and serve our neighbors. We love them because God first loved us. We gather here to be fed and then sent back out. May God send us His Holy Spirit to continue to strengthen and encourage us in this task, as we do indeed receive His grace here today. Amen.